Welcome to the AI Business Podcast, where we feature conversations with interesting guests at the intersection of artificial intelligence and business.
Hello there. Welcome back to another episode of the AI Business Podcast. I'm Ben Wodecki, and I'm pleased to be joined by the wonderful Munya Lamas from Spotify. Munya, how's it going?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show. It's a pleasure. So obviously your title is the Senior Director of Research at Spotify. Would you mind talking to us a little bit about what your work actually entails at Spotify?
Yes. So I lead what is called tech research. So I'm the head of tech research and also senior director. And that's mean that I lead research scientists. We are around 35 research scientists in personalization. Our focus is really personalization and to build algorithms that power personalization at Spotify. Just to explain a little bit, what does it mean? I'm just going to state what is our mission, because it just put everything into context. So the mission of Spotify is to unlock the potential of human creativity by giving a million creative artists the opportunity to live off the art, and billions of fans the opportunity to enjoy and be inspired by it. So what my team is doing in that, with respect to that big mission, is to help support Spotify mission by creating personalized experience that fulfill and delight Spotify artists and listener. We're able to suggest to users the kind of content they're likely to like, and enable also them to discover both new music and podcasts they never heard before. So it's usually providing the best possible experience.
Sure. So on that, let's delve a little deeper into that, because obviously it's a bit more than just recommending a playlist or something. How does that kind of tie into the work that you guys are doing? Is it around the kind of underlying algorithmic powering systems? How are you kind of looking at things?
So when you look at personalization, recommendation, and search, there is the algorithm, but there's a lot of things all around it. So research, as researcher, we bring in-depth expertise to approach personalization from various angles. Those expertise include human-computer interaction, language technology, machine learning, algorithmic responsibility, evaluation, search and recommendation, and also user modeling. So what we're trying to do with those various expertise is to understand the user, understand their behavior, understand the artist, their content, and how often this change is constantly changing from day to day. So we can continuously create maybe unique and the best experience fitting user needs. Another part of it, adding to it, is to personalize recommendation to introduce user to new artists, because it's all also about the recommendation. It's not just the user, there's also the creator part.
So a big thing that what you guys have been doing, from my understanding, in terms of technique, is around reinforcement learning. That's something that's really kind of bleeding through, I remember, for recommendation tools. How does this approach kind of yield these improved results?
So reinforcement learning allow us to think the bigger picture. In the context of consuming music, podcasts, and so on, we should view the user on a journey. What a user like now is not what they're going to like tomorrow or in a month or in a year time. So it's really user are on a journey. So the standard recommendation, the way it works, is to predict the next click independently on the journey. So what we're trying to do with reinforcement learning, because it brings the framework, the technology to do that, is to try to predict to next and next and next and next and next and next. It's like the future that comes with it. So we're trying to understand where the user are on their journey, what could be their next journey, and so on. And this is exactly. So the reinforcement learning is trying to answer how satisfied are you when you are. And they're really trying to nudge you towards content that a user may not have heard before, still super relevant, but really helping them into the journey.
So on that, reinforcement learning is, you know, quite a novel technique. It's only kind of really gained to prominence in the last few years. Would you say that since then it's kind of yielded better results compared to more traditional techniques?
It is an evolving journey itself. I think what is particular to us is understanding the user journey. So that's why we're approaching it not just from an algorithm perspective, but understand also where the user are, understand the type of content that we're having, understanding the actual experience. We're doing user research and so on. Even if we think that a particular algorithm is perfect now, it's not going to be perfect tomorrow. What reinforcement learning is really helping us reframing recommendation to take into account the long-term user satisfaction. So something that we understand is like, let's not try to predict the next click, but let's try to predict a habit. And so what does it mean? What habit mean is like, you try to look at correlation between the next click and habit, because habit is a way to understand where user will go next in the journey. So it is doing better, but it's itself a journey.
Yeah, no, you're right. I definitely, I must admit, for full disclosure, I'm a Spotify user, and in the last couple of years, my very eclectic music taste seems to be picked up very quickly. So it's almost kind of scary how well it works. But personalization for song recommendations and playlist recommendations is a very niche kind of product and a niche kind of demand for consumers. I can see this kind of idea being rolled out to kind of wider businesses, other use cases. Is that something that you guys are kind of thinking, okay, this could be applied to, say, retail settings, that kind of thing? Is that something that's kind of crossed your work?
Yes. So recommendation, recommender system, recommendation algorithm, they're everywhere. It's not just specific to us. For example, us as researchers, when we attend conferences that are dedicated to machine learning, dedicated to, for example, human-computer interaction, dedicated to natural language and so on, we have many papers that are about recommendation. So that is just to show how big the recommendation landscape is. Why this is super, super big? Because it's about matching user and creator. Now the task is the same, but you can't just, so the algorithm that people are developing, ourselves included, they're not so dramatically different. The fundamental, they tend to not change dramatically, but it's about putting it all together that makes the big difference. That makes it like what works there, the same algorithm may work, we're likely to need to work very differently. So the work we do is relevant to many other industry, but it will have to be adapted to their use case, to their domain, to the expectation of the users and so on.
So is it harder to kind of predict and teach these models to predict behavior on music? Because music can be quite different. It can be very, in my case, it can be very different. What's the differences then in terms of building and what researching these in terms of building for a more novel case like music, for example?
One way maybe to answer this is to actually go back to where Spotify is we don't just do music, we have podcast. So we have moved into podcasts and more recently into audiobooks. So it is the same app. It is kind of the same users, but just applying everything we know about music recommendation to podcast recommendation, it's just not like this. So we have to do quite a lot of work. And the reason is because podcast is still audio content, but it's a different type of content. It's not easy to find the right podcast. There's a big time commitment. So when user decide to go into podcast, they pick them very carefully. Podcasts are long form, require time and dedication and willingness to explore content in that sense. So that's just an example of going from one space to the other. Even if it's the same app, it's both audio and it is our same users.
No, that's right. I mean, you guys are really, really making a push in terms of audiobook and podcast market, and we'll come on to that a little bit in a minute. But on that, would you say that recommendation systems more tailored towards those styles of audio products require kind of more data consumption or more data usage to understand the user desires? Or what are the slight subtleties and differences between those two then?
So there is a type of data. Is it short-form content, long-form content? In some cases is visual, in some cases is audio, in some cases just textual and so on. So the how a user consume the content is very different. You don't listen to music the way you read news. and so on. So the experience itself, the expectation of the user is going to be super important. Then the data, the interaction between user and the content and so on, it can be similar in a sense, the user read this, user spent time like this and so on, but the interpretation is going to be very different. What does it mean to listen to a full podcast, to half a podcast? Is this the same that to read half of the news and so on? So a big part is also how do you interpret the interaction? So it's going back again to the domain.
So on that, Munya, I'd like to talk a bit more about the talk content side of things, because it's a big thing for Spotify, but it's also a big thing for Apple Podcasts. A lot of other products and platforms are really kind of pushing this market. And the reason why I want to talk about this a little bit is because Apple recently published a series of audiobooks that were entirely narrated around AI. Now, this has probably come around the hype of generative AI and that cycle. Is this something that your team are looking at in terms of the research side of things? And if so, kind of how long can we expect before AI-generated content is coming to Spotify, in terms of narration, rather?
I'm afraid I can't reveal too much about anything Spotify may be doing in this space, but it is undeniable that generative AI is a topic that is just crazy. It's generating a lot of interest right now. Even us as researchers, we're not reading enough the papers that are coming out. But of course, we are paying a lot of attention to development in this space. What I can share is that we are already scaling up our ability to transcribe and model much of our podcast catalog with large language technology. And we are optimistic that this will provide major advance in two particular areas: improving our ability to personalize and recommend podcast content, because we get a better understanding of the content, but also improve our ability to monitor and moderate unsafe content, because there's a lot of content out there. More generally, we are also building a prototype using LLM technology, large language model technology, that provide our user with novel way to navigate music, podcasts, and audiobook catalogs. And the only thing I can add to this is stay tuned.
No, it's incredible, because obviously you've got to keep things hush, but at the same time it's moving so fast that, you know, it's going to come very quickly. For you guys on the research field, you've been monitoring this for some time, and it's not just leapt out of everything because of ChatGPT, is that right?
Correct. Content understanding. When the Spotify decided to invest into podcasts, suddenly it's much more about the text, what the text is about, who is talking to whom, and so on. So we definitely went into this, trying to understand better content understanding can simply do better recommendations. So even pre-ChatGPT, there was Transformers. There's a lot of technology that continue advancing our content understanding.
Munya, I'd like to talk about the research side of things, and it ties into my last point, because obviously the companies are joining the bandwagon, joining the hype bandwagon around this. Is it difficult from a research perspective, where you've been working on products and working on concepts for some time, and then suddenly people higher up the company are going, okay, we really want to work on this? Does that bring in any difficulties in that regard, or what kind of wider difficulties have you had in terms of the research side of your work?
I think it's important to go back to the way that the tech landscape is advancing. It is not just Spotify, it's not just research. The whole world is looking at those technology advancing quite like really, really, really fast. What is good is with our researcher and many other people in the company is we have the right knowledge to move into that and so on. Maybe some people are not experts in large language model, but they have expertise in natural language processing and all those kind of things. So we are hoping to jump at the same time. The technology is really advancing super fast. So we as I say, we're already starting to build a prototype, which were based maybe on other related technology and so on. So it's not like a suddenly, oh, we should do this because the rest of the world is doing it. It's just a natural thing for us, because podcast is really about talk. Talk is text and so on.
Definitely. And I think it's important, because you said you've been monitoring this long before. I always say November was the ChatGPT, the start of the end. And it's going far too fast. Even I can't keep up with it. And it's I'm paid to keep up with it. So I find it interesting. But in terms of kind of wider difficulties, you've been in the research space for a very long time. How have you kind of overcome some of the difficulties that you've encountered, be it from kind of budget management or just generally kind of trying to adhere to higher ups in terms of like, this is what I should want to be working on? What kind of things have you had to deal with and overcome? How have you overcome those as well?
So the first thing is Spotify strongly believe in its research mission, research org, and so on. We're just truly part of the Spotify tech advance and so on. And the reason there is research, I think it's important to understand actually how we view research is like research is about solving problems that have no known or obvious solution. And there's going to be a lot of those. That's why we have researchers at Spotify. And the thing that I always say to people, if we know it would work, it would not be called research. So that's why we are part of the product cycle and so on, a little bit earlier than the typical product things. So what our researchers have, they have a lot of in-depth expertise. So they usually have a good intuition of what could work. And it's important to understand what could work. And the way we are successful is by talking on day one on possible way to do the research. Another thing also, it's a mindset, is to try to not necessarily come up with, I have a solution, I'm going to find a problem to solve, but the other way, there is a problem, how my expertise can help solving that problem. And so that's why we've always been very, very, very aligned. It's important to say that not all the research is going to succeed, meaning it does not go into production. That is normal. If everything was 100%, it would not be research. We're not innovative. We're not working on the hard problem and so on. However, even if something does not go into production, there's a lot of lesson learned. And often it guides future strategies and so on. So in a way, we feel quite good in terms of those difficulty. Communication is crucial on day one. So we're all working always together.
Munya, I'm keen to work out what happens when things don't go right, because you're right, not all research goes to the final stages. It's either incorporated into other things or it just flat out doesn't go anywhere. Can you walk us through kind of some examples or even just, you know, what's your kind of approach to when things don't quite go the way that you'd hope they would?
I have a really good example, which was being very sad and then being very happy and so on. And often this is how research works. So a while ago, we decided about looking at how to generate automatically shelves on Spotify that are personalized, both in terms of description, what the shelf is about, and the content, what is going to be put in that shelves. So description part was really what we wanted to focus. So how do we do that? So we thought of using voice queries. A lot of people talk to Spotify, play me this, play me some nice music so I can relax and all those kind of things. So we had some, of course, data with the voice query and as a way to generate name for those shelves, because this is the personalization part. And we use a neural architecture to map actually our user music taste to the voice query, the shelf names they may find interesting. However, the voice query that led to the shelf names, the quality was not very good. It was a bit random. There was a lot of very informal language, sometimes a little bit rude, and so on. So there was no way we could use that without a strong editorial intervention. You can't just simply use that and so on. So the work had to stop. However, this work showed that using a neural architecture to map user music taste to the voice query worked very well. It's just the quality of the shape was just not good. So this was working super well. So we just continue. So we just like, okay, oh, this is, we were very sad because we thought this was it. But then we just use the same neural architecture to move from music to podcast. So we kind of translated into a different problem. Similar research, but we moved into domain. So we use the same neural architecture to move from music to podcast. In fact, what we found out is understanding user music listening preference, we were able to identify podcasts to recommend to them. this isn't led into part of it moving to production, and we also got a paper out of it that was published in 2020. So this is an example where we try things, it didn't work. The lesson learned was like the architecture is very good, and we apply that into another domain or another problem in that case.
That was a really good example of how you've turned a bad situation into a better situation. But what happens when you just can't pick it up and it doesn't go anywhere? Obviously, it's disheartening from a personal level, but from a business perspective, like, how much of a setback is that? Because I'm keen to understand from a business side of things.
So what we are trying to do more is to fail fast. And is to so we always have this idea, this is what we need to do, this is the final AI, ML models and so on, the perfect one, it works beautifully on this data set. And we have learned, again, the communication and working with our product partner is what is V0, what is V1, what is V2, and so on. So even if this beautiful, perfect model is, that's the vision, we start small. What is the baseline and so on. So and this allows us to fail fast. And usually sometimes the baseline is already, that's a good job. How can we improve? So we move step by steps and so on. Sometimes when things do not work, it's because there's a change of priority. This is the business world. That's where we're going. Suddenly we're moving into this. That is painful, but it's just part of the job. We still publish papers out of this because there's always lesson learned. And even if sometimes something does not go into production, it stops. A year after, it's like, oh, do you remember this work? It's relevant to this problem. So that's our way just to feel we did a good job. Not everything goes into production. Again, communication is super important, and it's to really decompose the research into steps. V0, like what we call minimal viable product, version V0, version V1, and so on. And if V1 is terrible, it's not working, it's just not, that's it. We move into something else. So we don't spend like a whole year and nothing work. So, and this is, as a researcher, we always have our little baby, our little models, but at least we realize it's okay, time to move into something else.
I mean, yeah, I think that's a really fair reaction. I think for my final question, I'd like, if you wouldn't mind imparting some advice rather to our listeners. So our listeners are kind of split between kind of the work that you do, but also from a business angle, they're usually making decisions or higher up in the chain. For those guys, would you mind imparting some advice from what you want from a research perspective in terms of, okay, just sit and listen to them, things like that? What kind of advice would you have for our listeners out there in terms of approaching kind of research work?
If there are problems that there is no obvious solution, complex solution, when people are not even sure if it's going to work, this is where research can help a lot. So that is the one thing. Now it's about how to work with research. In the case when it's very close to product, is make sure that the researchers are part of a team and so on. So what we actually do at Spotify is we have researchers embedding with teams, especially when they start. So they understand the problem, they build the relationship with the team, they build the baseline. This baseline is so important because they then understand the problem better. And then we can do V1 and V2 and so on. It is also communication. Everybody has really good idea about, oh, this model should work, but the product manager will think we have to do A, B, C. It's the communication is like, okay, how do we work together and so on. Sometimes when people do planning, they could be like, okay, what could we do that is needed in 2 quarters or at the end of the year? What can we help doing that? So part of the planning and so on. Again, communication is super important. There's research happening. It may not lead to something, but we know what you're doing. And then it's a bit like going, it's like a waves. You close and then you go a little bit far away because you need time to do the research and so on. So communication at every time of the cycle. What we also have found at Spotify is the people we work with like storytelling, so we write papers together. It's not just a researcher. So it is building this community of you're solving a problem, a hard problem together, and to find the means to ensure that you're all part of a nice and happy team because it's so much fun.
No, I can definitely agree with you on that. Even just reading the papers is a heck of a lot of fun for me, which is sounds sad, but I enjoy it. Munya, it'd be good to catch up when you finally launch some of the more generative work. But until then, it's been an absolute pleasure. Munya Lamas from Spotify, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you. And thank you for listening. Please be sure to check out AIbusiness.com for your news, views and needs. Many thanks and please stay safe.
To get more AI news and insights, visit our website at AIbusiness.com. Until next time, thank you for listening.